And one thing that it's not just a simple, I'm sorry, and I'm going to keep going the same direction. That's not repentance, right? It's not really just having a conviction. That's not what repentance is. That may be included in repentance as part of the road, the way you get to repentance, but repentance literally is a change of one's mind to be absolutely converted. I don't know if y'all read the sign on the way in, but I kind of did a thematic sign that repentance is like a U-turn of one's life. Did you ever do a U-turn on the road before? All the time. I hope not all the time, but sometimes it's necessary. Did you ever find out you were going the wrong way, or that you went too far? You went past your turnoff, and if you were able to, the only thing that you were thinking about was trying to get turned around and go back the other way, because you were going the wrong way. And I can tell you, when we realize we're going the wrong way in life, it's exactly what we better do. And there ain't no laws against this one, so you're not going to get a ticket for doing a U-turn in life. In fact, you're going to please God in such a way that He is going to bless you. And one of the ways He blesses you is with true refreshment in your life, true refreshment in your spirit. And that's what I want us to learn about today, to absorb, to claim. I want us to claim it. I know. You know, we're all against naming it and claiming it these days because there's some preachers that say you can claim $1 million and you'll get it. Hey guys, here's the deal. You can claim the promises of God as they are written in His Word. They are as good as done. If you read your Bibles, when God spoke, He spoke in past tense, even though it hadn't happened yet. Because when God says something, it's as good as done. Listen to what these words say. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Guys, I'm going to tell you, I lived my whole BC life, before Christ life, under such a heavy weight and burden that I was absolutely wore out. Whenever I got to this page of Scripture, reading through the Bible, I wept. I read over this page of Scripture, this area, this very verse, I can't tell you, for about 3 or 4 days. I didn't move on. I said, I need this so desperately. I am not moving on until Jesus teaches me what this means. Because I needed rest so desperately. I'm going to tell you something, guys. It puzzled me. Because yoke is about work. And Jesus is saying, come work with me and you're going to find rest. And that freaked me out. My dad used to say, come work with me, and I never got rested. In fact, he got everything out of me he could get every day of my life that I worked with him. thank God my dad didn't have high-powered lights because we'd have never took a break. What I'm telling you is, I read that verse and it freaked me out, and I didn't move on until I got the gist of it. Jesus is the rest. That's the gist of it. A yoke has two places. A yoke is not a one-place instrument. It's a two-place instrument. A yoke is always a two-place instrument. It is to put two animals together to pull a heavy load. And I'm just going to tell you, Jesus is saying, get in my yoke. What's His yoke? It's the place where He is. How powerful is Jesus? All-powerful. Guys, you get in the yoke with Him and you will stop having to do it on your own. That's what Jesus is saying. How do we get in the yoke with Him? I can tell you, repentance is an absolute key. We can't get in the yoke with Jesus and get pulling the load with Him and Him be pulling half of our load or more than half of our load and we be finding rest there if we're carrying around a whole bunch of sin. Do I get an amen? It's the sin that wears us out. And I'm telling you, there ain't none of us that can sit here today and say, I don't have it, because the Bible says if you say that, you're a liar. The Bible says if you say that, you're making Him out to be a liar. Is there anybody here who wants to testify and try to call God a liar today? Hopefully not. So it means we've got sin, and we need to deal with it. And as we deal with it, God will give us rest. God talked about rest. Jesus talked about rest in Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. He was getting in trouble because he kept healing people on the Sabbath. You think that was an accident? You think that was a coincidence? All over the New Testament, all over the Gospels, you find Jesus healing on the Sabbath. He healed on the Sabbath. He healed on the Sabbath. What is the Sabbath all about? Does anybody know? It's about rest. It's about rest. And he was working on the day of rest, and they was ready to kill him over it. In fact, they did. And you see, because there was a law that was made that said, 6 days you shall labor, and on the seventh you shall rest. And everybody turned that into a burden. They turned it into a burden. God himself, literally Jesus, didn't make it to be a burden for us. You see, he wants us to have rest. Did you know God wants you to have rest today? He actually wants you to have rest in your life. He wants you to have a proper portion of it. Yes, you should work, but he wants you to work with him and find rest in him. Let's see what he says here in Mark chapter 2. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. This wasn't meant to be a constraining law that strangles the life out of you. It was meant to be a blessing to you that God wants you to find rest. Therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. So who can tell us this but the very man, Jesus, who's actually the Lord of it, who invented it in the first place. He's the only one who has the authority to explain to us what it is. You see, he wants us to find rest in him. He is the Sabbath rest. And whenever we enter into Jesus, we have it. That's the rest. And yeah, I think it's great to observe a day too. By principle, it's great for you to observe a day, to set a day aside that you don't do a bunch of other work because you know what? Man needs a break. I did the 7 day a week thing for a long time, and I'm just telling you, it made me grumpy, grouchy, tired. Do I get an amen, sister? My wife, she's being really kind to me today. Most of the time, she'd amen me on that just like that quick. I don't. But no, really, it was. It was too much of a strain. You see, God wants us to actually have balance in our lives, and that's why he created a Sabbath day. But I want you to understand, he is the Sabbath rest. He's the Lord of that Sabbath. He is amazing. He's the one who defines it. In fact, just want to think about what is it that's wearing us out? It's when we disobey God, honestly. It honestly is. So we're going to kind of build on this just a little bit here. So God wants us to find rest. Do we get an amen to that? God wants you to find rest. I got one amen. God wants you to find rest. All right. God wants you to find rest. Amen. Do you need rest? Amen. We all do. You'll find it in God. Now let's figure out how to get there. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is in a position where he is absolutely at the throne of God. He has the power. He always has. And he wants to make sure that he bestows that on his children to give us the power to do everything we need to do. The only thing that's holding us back is the sin that ensnares us. Do I get an amen to that? Okay, so here's the deal, guys. You're going out to run a race. You're going to get in the yoke with Jesus. We're going to do it together. Okay? We're going to work till Jesus comes. Would you pack on everything that you could that's heavy to run that race? I remember coming home one day, and it was a very hot day last year in the summertime, to meet my son Daniel. He had just made it to the top of our hill, and how many pounds did you have in your backpack? Did y'all hear him? 50 pounds of weight in a backpack. And has anybody been to my house? Raise your hand if you've been to my house. Is my driveway steep? Yeah. Okay. Yep. I get some complaints from people about how steep my driveway is. Daniel was literally on like the hottest day of the year running up and down the driveway with 50 pounds on his... How fast were you going, Daniel? Okay, if you were going to run a 26-mile marathon, would you run with the pack on your back or without? Okay, so see, the point is, he was doing this to train so that when he took that weight off, he would have a burst of speed and energy. What will happen if you get rid of the sin, guys? We've been dragging it around all this time. You're going to feel light. You're going to be amazingly light to run the race of endurance. Okay? Maybe you've experienced this. I think it's something we need to just keep experiencing, like, all the time. Amen? Anything you hold back becomes weight on you. If God puts his finger on something and he goes, John, I don't like this in your life. I think it's becoming an idol to you. If I go, I didn't hear that. You know what? That's going to become a weight in my backpack. From that time on, I'm going to have heaviness. And here's the deal about God. Do you know God never changes his mind? So if I go 20 years with my fingers in my ears saying, I don't hear you, I don't want to give it up, you know what? I'm going to have weight in my backpack from that time on for the rest of the time until I decide that I'm going to surrender that to God. And I really believe that's how it works. I'll tell you why so many people in Christendom are so wore out is because they're unwilling to give God what he is asking for in their life. And for every person, it may be something different, but now this scripture tells us that because other people have gone on before us, that's that great cloud of witnesses. What other people went on before us? Name off some of them that you know of in the Bible. Moses is one. There's a patriarch. Joseph. Tell me your heroes. Okay, that's an interesting one. We'll talk about that another day. All right. How about Gideon? I know, he's in the hall. We'll talk about that another day. Jesus! How about Paul? Man, I tell you, I can't wait to meet Paul face to face. That guy, you know, he's my hero. He's one of my heroes of the faith. He finished well. You know what I'm saying? Peter? Elijah, Daniel, Isaiah. Guys, we could keep naming them, and I'm just telling you, those guys went ahead of us. They showed us the way. They finished well. And so because we can see how their life went, let us lay aside all the weight and all that stuff that's holding us back so that we can easily win this race, so that we can finish it. You know, think about Jacob. Jacob was an interesting character in the Bible. There was a time he was getting ready. He was about to be, like, quote, born again, okay? He was about to become Israel. And it's a notable point. It's a notable point. God had already kind of renamed him, but he just didn't accept the name. God had put his finger on it, guys. God had put his finger on the thing in Jacob's life. And Jacob wasn't giving it up. And Jacob continued to struggle, and he continued to struggle. And finally, God said, you got to face up to something that you did like a whole bunch of years ago, over 14 years ago. He had cheated his brother. He had lied to get it. And God was making him go back. And Jacob was on his way, and Jacob was scared, and rightly so, because his brother said, next time I see you, I'll kill you. I'm just waiting for dad to die, because when dad's gone, you're dead. And I'm telling you, Jacob was powerful enough to do it. Y'all remember, Jacob was the great hunter. Jacob was the homebody. Or, I'm sorry, Esau was the great hunter. Jacob was the homebody. So we can see, now he might have been a little scared whenever Esau said this. Esau was the tough guy of the family. And so Esau is waiting on Jacob here. He's up ahead, and Jacob's scared. And Jacob goes out, and this man comes into his camp while he's all alone. I was going to tell you, it was Jesus, okay? It was Jesus, pre-incarnate Jesus. He was there. And he came to bless him. But you see, Jacob wanted Jesus to bless him on Jacob's terms. That's how Jacob had gotten everything in his life. And so Jacob wound up wrestling with him all night long. And I know that's admirable because he was wrestling for the blessing. You need to make sure you stay in it for the blessing too. I got that. But I'm going to tell you, the problem was Jacob wasn't really willing to relent and let God give it to him his way. God, literally, Jesus, had to cripple him. Dislocated his hip. How many of you have ever had a dislocated hip? Got one hand up. How'd it feel? God had to inflict pain on Jacob because he wouldn't give in. Does it sound familiar to anybody? Has God ever had to inflict pain on you because you wouldn't give in? I'm raising my hand. I felt it. I've been there. I hope I don't have to go through it again. Guys, the easiest way for God to bless you is let him do it his way. Surrender anything that's standing in the way. So Jacob was left alone. A man wrestled with him until the day, breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, Jacob, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now ultimately, this man blessed Jacob. He came to bless him. Yes, sir? His hero's Josiah. All right. So, all right, we've moved on to Jacob at this point. So we're on Jacob. He's got to be crippled by God so that he'll quit wrestling against him so that then God can do what he came to do in the first place, and that was bless him. Guys, how many of us are wrestling with God today? Have you ever wrestled with God over something? God was telling you something, and you couldn't sleep that night, and you tossed and you turned, and you just kept arguing. You kept saying, I can't do it. I'm not able. What are they going to think? Have you ever done that? Are you still doing it? I think some of us are, right? And I think it may wear us out. So the question I'm going to ask is, are you going to out-wrestle God? You think he's going to change his mind? Absolutely not. You're just going to be wore out. So what we need to do is just what eventually happened with Jacob. We need to let God change us. If you remember the story, that's where Jacob said, what's your name? I'm not letting go of you until you tell me your name, until you bless me. And it wasn't important what that man's name was. What was really important was the name he was given him. He was given Jacob a new name. He had already mentioned to him once before, you see, he went from being the deceiver. This is a picture of repentance. There was a complete U-turn of a life here at this point. He went from being the deceiver, supplanter, one who grabs and takes, to being the Prince of God that day. He became Israel, the Prince of God. You see, he had a complete change of mind, so to speak. And it was due to God, but he had to agree with it, and he had to move forward with it. Now, was Jacob perfect after this? Absolutely not. You go on to read the story, and you're like, okay, sometimes it's a little hard to see the change. Are you perfect since you had your experience with God? No. You're still a work in progress, but the question is, are you wrestling against God right now? Because if you are, you're just going to continue to be wore out, and God's not going to change his mind. So whatever it is, I don't know what God's put his finger on in your life. You really need to agree with him. That's called confession, and then you need to turn around. You need to go with him. For me, it came at a point in my life with surrendering my whole marriage. It came at a point in my life surrendering some bad habits in my life. It came at a point in my life whenever I had to go back to some people who I had hurt before and I had to admit I was wrong and ask them for forgiveness. For me, it came whenever God called me to be a pastor and I really liked my life the way it was. And so I resisted him. It came for me whenever I decided God actually wanted me to come to the church services on a regular basis. You know what I used to do on Sunday? I used to like to go fishing. And I really didn't like it that God had put his finger on that point in my life and said, I want you to change what you do and start coming to church on a regular basis so that you can grow in me. You know, he even said, I want you there on Wednesday night. Oh my! Wait a minute. I work hard. I was a roofer, a logger, a sawmiller. How am I going to go to church on Wednesday night and still get up the next morning? See, guys, God put his finger on it, and I didn't get rest till I finally said yes. I had to change. What's God calling you to change? You're not going to find rest till you say yes. Do I get an amen? He wants a complete change of mind in us. New Testament repentance, what it looks like. Let's go to Acts chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You know, I know that God is everywhere. It's called being omnipresent. I know that there is no place in all of the universe and everything, even that we can't see, where God is not present. God is here. But I'm going to tell you, you're not going to experience the presence of the Lord until you're willing to repent and go with him. Whatever it is that God's put his finger on, hey, there was a lot of things, guys. Whenever I came to Christ, I was at 30, and I had a lot of junk in my life. I liked to drink. I liked to chew tobacco. I liked to cuss. And man, I'm telling you, I had a potty mouth. And all those things, one by one, God started putting his finger on and saying, here, I want you to give that up. And then I'm going to help you do it. Who would think that he would call me to be a preacher of all things? What a crazy thought. And I argued with him a lot about that. How could you use a guy who had such a start as me? And I'll tell you why. Because he wants to show that it's him that did it, not me. I wasn't raised in church. I didn't get all this stuff from the beginning. I didn't even believe the Word of God at one point. Well, I was all tampered with. So why would I believe it? Why would I do it? I'll tell you, God is able. We just got to surrender to him. And I found that refreshing that came from the presence of the Lord. And I want to keep it. Does anybody want to keep that refreshing? Whenever I start to experience it's leaving me, I want it again. And I went through a time here not too long ago where I kind of felt the departing of that. There was some repenting I needed to do. I needed to get right with God and move on with him, that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. I just want to tell you guys, that's how we get the refreshment. Repent and turn to God. In fact, Paul says later on in Acts chapter 26, he's testifying to King Agrippa at this point. He was talking about when he had his road, Damascus Road experience, and he met Jesus along the road, and God turned him around. He did a U-turn in his life. Before that, he was persecuting, killing Christians. Then he became one. And he says, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. God literally told him that he was going to become an outreach tool of his to the Gentiles. And so he was obedient. Now, guys, if he wouldn't have been obedient, he'd have never found the refreshing from the Lord. But he was obedient. But declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting of repentance. It's the same message, no matter where he went. It was the message in Damascus. It was the message in Jerusalem. It was the message in Judea. And it was the message to the Gentiles. That's us. That the way you find peace with God, the way you find refreshment with God is to repent. Have a change of mind. Turn to God, because when you're not repentant, you're turned away from God. But when you repent, that means you do a U-turn. Now, all of a sudden, you're facing God. You turn to God, and then there's that one last part. Let's say it together. And do works befitting repentance. That means not only do you say it, not only do you get turned around, but then you start doing it. That's the proof that you really believe it. I'm going to tell you, you do what you believe. You do what you believe. Guys, whatever God's put his finger on, I don't care if it's a bad habit. I don't care if it's something nobody else knows about. I don't care if it's just not being as sensitive to your wife or to your husband as you should be, or whatever, guys. Maybe you need to restore a relationship that you cut off a long time ago or try to seek reconciliation with him. I don't know what it is, but you're not going to find rest till you say, okay. And I'm going to tell you, if God's put his finger on you and he says he wants you to be a part of a certain ministry in this church, or that you need to become a member in this church, or that you need to start coming on Sunday night and Wednesday night to get more of the teaching so that you can grow faster, whatever it is, you will not find rest until you just say, okay. Because God don't change. So please, here's the deal. Does God want us to find rest? Yes. We've already established that. It's in Scripture. He wants you to have rest, so he wants you to repent. He wants you to come to him. And this is what it'll look like. I love this. Man, if this one don't float your boat, this is great. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a great guy. Y'all remember Zacchaeus? He was so short he couldn't see Jesus. He was in this great crowd of people, and all he could see was people. So this dude wanted to see Jesus so bad, he climbed up in a tree. He got up above all the other people. And Jesus said, I'm coming to your house today. Isn't that awesome? Don't you want Jesus just to come? And so Zacchaeus was so taken back by this. And I mean, he turned his life over to the Lord. And he stood and he showed that he had repented. And this is how he did it. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Look, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Man, I'm going to tell you, that's some radical repentance there, don't you think? That's a complete U-turn. And I'll tell you what, it was for real, because look what Jesus said. Today, salvation has come to this house. Because he also is the son of Abraham. Guys, I tell you, it's important that we actually do what God said. So I'm going to tell you, if God's got his finger on something in your life, you're not going to find rest till you repent. The altar's here. It's open. You need to repent of something. Even before the music starts, I say you just come on up. Because, you know, sometimes the music's going, and what I find about that is the people who are doing the music don't even get a chance to pray. So I want to offer the chance to pray even before the music starts. So I want to pray over you, because I don't know about you guys, I want that refreshment, I want that rest, and I want you to have it. So let's just obey God today. Dear Father, I pray that you would just show us that, Lord Jesus, you've already won the victory. We don't get to enjoy it as much until we truly get with you. We're totally on your side. So Lord, whoever you may be touching their hearts, let us not stop what others will think of us, or let what others might think of us stop us from coming forward and repenting before you at the altar today. I know that a lot of times we say, well, I can pray anywhere, and you can. Unless the God of heaven says, go forward. And if we don't, at that point, we become disobedient. And then we've just got another thing to repent of. So I pray that we not worry about what anybody else thinks, but we just lay it out there. God, I know there's been many times in my life where you've called me to repent. First, at salvation, and you said, you repent, you come to me, and I will forgive you, and I will give you eternal life. Wow. Lord Jesus, you are my Lord. But then, from every day beyond, you've been showing me different stuff, Lord. Different stuff that you want to work on in my character, in who I am, in what I do. And one by one, you've called me to repent in all of these issues. Have a change of mind. And do things, the works that are befitting that repentance. Lord, please lead our people today to just give it to you. The awesome thing is, when we do that, you are there to help us take care of it. Get in that yoke with Jesus. You're already there. Thank you, Lord. You want us to find that rest. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Come then and join this holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land where joy's immortal flow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes bright as snow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now.
If y'all could have a seat for just a couple seconds here. You know, whenever we were singing that song, I got thinking about it. What kind of things would God consider sin in our lives? How would we define that? Because sometimes, you know, we may not realize really what is sin in our life. Shelly? Anything that's coming between us and our relationship with God? Any kind of disobedience to God? Okay? Like, anything that's not of faith, it says in Scripture, is sin? So like if we're not following our faith, or if we're trying to do things outside of faith, that could be considered sin? You know, we went to that Awaken Me weekend. We'll get to birthdays and anniversaries here in just a second. I haven't forgotten them. But I wanted to share a little testimony with you. We were feeling kind of down. Okay? At the Awaken Me weekend, we were feeling kind of down. I'm going to be honest with you. It really gets me down that not more of God's people really want to minister in His name. It just breaks my heart. I'm heartbroken. And I'm not just talking about just Cadet Baptist Church, but yes, including Cadet Baptist Church. I'm the shepherd. I'm the pastor here. And the fact that week after week after week after week, some folks just absolutely refuse to go with God, refuse to do His work, refuse to witness, to do the things God told us to do. He told us to be witnesses. He told us to minister to a lost and dying world for the sake of Christ. He told us to put His kingdom first and His righteousness. And I get really down whenever I see that the church as a whole, not just here, but all across the United States, is just not doing it. We are so concerned with building our own kingdom and not God's kingdom. And it just breaks my heart. And this older couple with a lot of wisdom came up to me and Shelly, and they just sensed that something in our spirit really needed to be ministered to. Who ministers to the minister? We ain't built that one into the church real well. I'm just going to tell you, I need ministry too. And this older couple came up to us. They had been missionaries in Israel. They had gotten married because they felt like God wanted them to be married. It was really an unusual couple. It's crazy. I mean, like, they didn't just fall in love and say, well, we don't care what you think, God, we're getting married. They actually met each other because they were both serving God, and God said, I want you married. And they actually got married in obedience to God. It was a really interesting couple. They came to us, and they just asked what they could pray for us about. And as we poured out our hearts to them, the gentleman looked at me. His name was Reuben. He looked me in the eyes, and he said, do you believe? He said, I am struck by the fact that unbelief is sin. He said, so before we pray, do you believe that God can do this? Do you believe God is going to do this? And I don't know if it impacted you the same way it did me, Shelley, but it impacted me, and I repented right there in my unbelief. I'm just going to tell you something, guys. I believe God can make this church be what He's called us to be. He can make us be bold in our witness. How many of you feel like you're bold in your witness of Jesus Christ? We're very timid. God called us to be bold, and He says He will make us bold whenever He fills us. But you see, the question is, do we want to be filled? Okay, we've prayed, and I believe it's going to happen. I believe we are going to be a powerful force, and we are going to win this community to Christ. I believe it can actually happen. I believe that God can break the bonds that are holding so many people in captivity around here. Drugs! Are destroying our families in our area. We live in the meth capital of the United States. God, help us. God, help us. Do you realize that is demonic? That is a demonic stronghold. It is a demonic stronghold. That is demons that's doing that, folks. And you may even have a demon holding you in it. And I just want you to know, don't be ashamed. Come out into the light. Let's get well. God can do it. I believe it. And I believe He is. But He's wanting us to lay it down and move forward with Him. And I believe it. And we've prayed. And I repent of my unbelief. God can do this. And I believe He's going to. And I believe He's going to use us. You want rest? Get in with God. Do what He's calling you to do. We need a helper for Sharon's Sunday school class bad. I'm getting tired of mentioning it and asking God and not believing. I'm believing God's going to give her a suitable helper. You know, we are actually breaking our church policy by having one minister in the nursery during Sunday school. My wife says, oh, it's okay, it's mostly my grandkids and stuff like that. I don't care. Our church policy says there's supposed to be two people in there, but we don't have a second person to put in there. I'm just telling you, I think God's calling people to work together. Now, I don't know who's disobeying, but I wish y'all would stop. Because I want you to have rest, and I want us to be rich and full. This church is not just here for what it gives me or gives you. It's for what you can give to God through it. That's what we're here for. And I'm just telling you, in 9 full years, I've had 2 families that joined this church and said, we came here because we want to know how God can use us here. Everybody else has come for what they think they can get. It's time for us to change our mindset. This church isn't here to give to you. This church is for you to give through to God to reach this community. And I believe God wants to do that. It's just a matter of us getting in on what He's doing, changing our mindset, having a complete change of mind. And I'm going to tell you, I did not follow God until I was thoroughly convinced. I want you to be thoroughly convinced today. Let's get in on it. We're offering an opportunity for people to be kind of developed and to be blessed into that. Come next Saturday. It's there. We have an opportunity for you to learn how to deal with your conflict in your life. Does anybody have conflict in your life? Or am I the only one? Every Sunday night we have been dealing with that. And I'm telling you, if you missed the first part of it, come on tonight because it's an opportunity for you to grow. And then I'll have people say, well, preacher, I just don't feel like I can grow. I need somebody to teach me more. Those same people aren't coming to the opportunities to grow. They're here. Let's do it. Let's repent. Let's have a change of mind. And let's go forward. Okay? I think that's where it's at. That's where we're going to find refreshment. You're not going to find it by laying out. You're going to find it by getting in. That's where we need the refreshment. So I praise God for y'all. I praise God that you're here. I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip. I'm trying to help you get lifted. I want you to have it. But you're not going to have it being halfway in. You're going to find nothing but grief there. Get all the way in the boat. If you don't, you're going to end up in the water. Try to get halfway in a boat, keep one foot on the land or one foot on the dock, and then the other foot in the boat. Boat's going away. You better get in, otherwise you're going to wind up in the water. Get in today. Get in today. Let me pray over you. Dear Father, I just pray for this congregation. Lord, I'm thankful. This isn't about my agenda or any person's agenda. This is about your agenda for why this church exists. Lord, help us to let you lead this church. We just want to do what you're calling us to do. And I am absolutely 100% assured that whenever I get in the yoke with you and I do what you say, you're going to give me refreshment because you said so. I'm going to get the rest that I need, and I have been. Lord, not by backing off, but by getting in with you. I've got the help that I need. I pray that we will do that together in Jesus' name. Amen. Do we have any birthdays to celebrate today?
Birthday. None. Kind of any father.